It's a pleasure to worship with you tonight and on Sundays. We thank the Lord for his goodness. Let's stand and sing the song, Wonderful, Merciful Savior, and Victory in Jesus.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor,
victory in Jesus.
throughout the streets of gold, beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there in song of victory. Oh, victory.
Father, thank you so much for songs like that hymn and many other songs that we have grown to love through the years. Help us to sing them all the day long, Lord, as you bring truth to our mind. May it bring these songs to our mind that we can sing with a joyful heart. Thank you so much. Thank you for church today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. If you like that song, maybe there's some others we can sing tonight too, favorite hymns, verses, testimonies, etc. Keep that in mind. Thank you.
Proverbs chapter 31 for our scripture reading. Begin reading with verse 10. This is perhaps the best known passage in Proverbs, commonly referred to as the virtuous woman. The minute I say that, all you women say, oh boy, here we go again. I want to be an encouragement tonight. I don't want you walking out feeling guilty, but Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hand to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Certainly a high standard, and yet God does indeed empower. Sheila Rizzi is going to play for us.
Thank you very much for that. Well, this is your opportunity to maybe share a testimony, praise, something the Lord's been doing in your life, favorite verse, prayer request, hymn, whatever you'd like to share this evening. It's up to you. So I don't like having him behind me like that. That's
I like it a lot.
He said he had my back, but I don't know what he's doing back there. So, but anyway, this is your opportunity. And I was just thinking, I was talking with Isabel up here, and she was saying how she wanted to pick a song tonight. I told her this is an opportunity to pick a song. And she said, okay. And so she picked one. I said, well, we probably ought to pick one that at least some of the people in the auditorium know. Because if we don't, then everybody's going to be trying to fumble through it. because she wanted to learn a new song tonight. So, listen, if you have a favorite of yours that we haven't sung recently, please feel free to share that. And so we can sing it this evening. Just make sure at least enough people in the room know it. All right, so we can learn it. But I don't know about you. As I was growing up here in the church, of course, we used to sing all the hymns. And then, you know, now there's hymns and there's praise courses or so forth, whatever. But, you know, it's funny how even now as I'm driving the car by myself or whatever, you know, the songs that usually come to my mind are those songs I learned as a kid. And oftentimes it's those hymns. And I just love the old hymns with the depth of meaning that they have. And so I really enjoy singing those songs. I of course enjoy what we'd call the newer music today, but I also enjoy those hymns. So again, if you have that, I'd love to do that. It takes the pressure off me anyway, puts it on Pastor Mike. But anyways, this is your opportunity to maybe share something God's been doing in your life. I'll keep talking if no one raises their hand. There we go. All right, I'm going to have my daughter.
Jesus loves me.
All right.
Ready?
Jesus loves me.
I'm a little nervous. Yes? You want to do number 10? Number 10. I told her this was Aunt Pam's, one of her favorite hymns. Do you remember this one?
Yes, I do remember this one. Oh, you're so lucky, Isabel. I don't like learning new songs in front of a bunch of people, so I'm glad this is not a new song tonight. But we haven't sung it in a while, but it's a good one. I remember, you know, it's funny, there's a couple songs I remember standing next to my grandmother singing, and this was one of them, so it's a good one. Let's sing 1 and 4.
When morning gilds the skies, my heart awakened cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. All I can work or prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. Be this while life is mine, my canticle divine, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this vernal song through all the ages on, may Jesus Christ be praised.
Yes. Our God is an awesome God.
We can sing an a cappella at least. Can we sing the chorus? Would that be all right? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen. Amen. It's short, but it's powerful. You're welcome. I don't know how many of you know Rich Mullins. He was the artist who wrote that, and there are verses that go along with it that are equally as powerful. And if you've never looked at those verses, you should look that up. They're really great verses. He wrote it on one of his road trips with one of his fellow musicians. And as he was just watching the countryside, he was just amazed at the awesomeness of our God. Any other? Yes. All right. Can I give the mic to my beautiful daughter here and have her run it back?
486.
Thank you. So my request is I am resolved. 486.
Yep.
Okay. And the testimony that I have is, we were having lunch with the Kapatises, Brody and Ella and Shelley Mike, and we were talking about Brody's school, which he's going to a charter school. 2 days he goes to like a Christian school, and then he's homeschooled the rest of the time. But he was learning this song, and his parents didn't know it, and it just came into my head from years and years ago when I used to sing this growing up. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that I thank the Lord that my grandkids, all five of them, are hearing about Jesus.
Amen, amen. What a privilege, something we don't take for granted. Stacy, is there a verse or two you liked a lot from this song? Do you remember? Or?
I've just been singing one. I mean, it's stuck in my head, you know. So,
okay, okay. This is a good song. Thank you for bringing it up here. 486. I am resolved no longer to linger, charged by the world's delight. Things that are high, learn my side. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come. Let's sing verse 3 as well. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Thanks, Stacy.
All right, other testimonies, hymns, verses, praises. Yes.
Thank you, beautiful. A hymn is 223, and a little bit of testimony to go with that. It is well with my soul. When we lost our Noah 18 years ago, this song really had so much deep meaning and trust and faith in God, and it's one of my favorites.
Which verses, Dawn? Thank you. Which verses you want to sing? One and four. 223, it is well with my soul. Verse 1 and verse 3. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
On many people's hearts. All right, I see two hands over here. Can you go?
We're going down memory lane here. How many of you remember Mel Schultz standing up and leading the hymns on Sunday evenings here in our church back in the old auditorium? I still have such a vivid memory of him. He loved to lead the songs, didn't he? Remember how he would, his arms would go and he would rock up and down on his toes. I mean, he was a great one. He loved the Lord and loved to sing. So let's count our blessings, 545.
Does anybody know how long Mel did that? Yeah, I remember, obviously, growing up, he was always there doing it, but he was my friend until one day he called me Mikey to get up and do music, and they lost me there. No. Mel was, he was good. Terrific guy. All right.
On life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Verse 4. So amid the the conflict within.
I have a hymn, number 311, This World Is Not My Home.
311, all right. Any verse in particular, sir? No? All right. Isabel says all of them. I guess. You know what? We'll do that for you. I'll tell you what. We'll sing one in the chorus, two, three, four in the chorus. We'll see if everybody can follow along, all right? I don't know if even I can follow that, but we're going to do our best. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now onward I go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Verse 3, I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I with Him stand. He's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land.
Hear that song at least once a day somewhere. My two oldest love to sing that one, so thank you for reinforcing that. I appreciate it. No, actually, I was telling Pastor Mike this evening, I said, you know, there's a whole lot worse songs like they have stuck in their head, and I'm glad that one stuck in their head, and just the truth of it and the reminder of it is great, just to hear it even from my kids. So I think, are we out of time here?
Whenever.
It depends on how much Pastor Don wants to get up here. Speak on the virtuous woman. All right. Yes. 312.
Come with every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust. trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
All right, this is your last opportunity. Lydia has one. I'm absolutely not seeing it. Oh, there she is, waving at me.
197. All right. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior. Let's do that chorus one more time. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
We'll go back to Proverbs 31. As we've been going through Proverbs now for quite a few months, we do come to the end of these Proverbs, and it does deal with this virtuous woman. We said last week Proverbs 31 is written by King Lemuel. Don't know anything about him. Some have suggested, and we looked at last week, the possibility that it could have been a nickname that Bathsheba had for Solomon. And there's some very scant evidence that that could be true, but we don't really know. But if that's the case, if this is Solomon and he writes this, it's rather interesting coming from somebody who had 600 wives. Which wife was he talking about here? Or was he talking about his mother? Again, we have no idea, but who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The word virtuous here, your translation may use a different word, but it's a word that the basic meaning of the word is just to be strong or to be firm. It actually is used with reference to a man of valor who is an elite warrior in the army, because again he is strong. He doesn't surrender, doesn't give up, and so when it speaks here of a virtuous woman, it's talking about one who's of strong character, one who isn't easily rattled, one who's firm in her convictions, one who doesn't surrender just because things get a little hard or difficult. And obviously, with reference to an elite warrior, such a one is very valuable, and that's the emphasis here. This one of strong character, this one who's not easily rattled, this one who doesn't give up, this one who's firm in her convictions, is more precious and more valuable than rubies. And so that's the emphasis of that thought. As you come to verses 11 and 12, it deals with her relationship with her husband. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoils. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Again, because of her strong character, because she doesn't give up, because she is one who is firm in her convictions, then he can trust her. Her husband trusts her. He knows that she's not going to be blown by every wind of doctrine. She's not going to give in to just the fad of the day. She's going to be faithful. He can trust her. She's going to be dependable. He can trust her. And she's very diligent in what she does. Verse 12 there, she will do him good and not evil all her days. The word good here is a very general word, nothing specific there, just good. She'll do him good physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, just good to him. And not evil is not going to harm him spiritually or emotionally. And so she is one that he can trust because she is indeed faithful, she's consistent, and she is one that is strong in her convictions. She seeks wool. This now she really verses 13 through 19 speaks of her industriousness. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. The wool and the flax, of course, is the raw material for making clothes. And so she seeks diligently. The word seek here is to tread often or frequently. And so she constantly is seeking wool and flax so that she can make clothes for her family. And the idea is that just because it might get difficult to find the flax or the wool, she doesn't give up. She seeks it, and she frequently goes in that direction to find the wool and flax that is needed for her family. And she says it says that she works willingly with her hands. The word willingly here is a word that means to delight in or to be pleased with. She delights in working with her hands. She is pleased to do so. She's not begrudgingly getting the wool and the flax and making these clothes for her family. She's not doing it begrudgingly. I guess I have to do it, but she willingly. It's with delight. It pleases her to be able to serve in that manner. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She's compared to a merchant ship. It's in the sense, again, that she brings her food from afar. You know, there, back in that day, was a lot of barter system, obviously, and you would do some trading with others, and you could trade with the locals, or you could trade with the traveling merchants. And this is saying that she didn't just limit herself to the local merchants. She was willing to do the hard work to seek out the traveling merchants who would maybe have more of what she needed or better quality of what she needed. She was willing to put in the extra work, the extra time, to get what was best for her family. And even if that involved working in trading with the traveling merchants, she would take the time and effort to do so. So even though it wasn't necessarily the easiest route, she was willing to do the hard work to do what was best. She rises also while it is yet night, gives food to her household and a portion to her maidens. She gets up before sunrise to do the work necessary again to provide for her family. Now, don't take that too far, guys. It doesn't say that she brought him breakfast in bed when she got up in the morning. But she wasn't afraid to get up early and to get to work, again, to provide for her family. She wasn't lazy. Of course, Proverbs has had a lot to say about laziness and slothfulness. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so shall the poverty come. Proverbs 6 and verse 10. So she was not one who was lazy. She was not one, you know, a little sleep and a little slumber. She's willing to get up early, before sunrise, to do the work that was necessary. She considers in verse 16 a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Those who think that the place of the women is in the kitchen needs to read this verse. She doesn't just stay in the kitchen. She's out buying fields. She plants a vineyard in it. You know, I think sometimes us husbands, our wives spend $10 on something, we get upset with them. Well, this woman's out buying a field. And she's planting a vineyard. I'm not sure I want my wife going out buying some field someplace. But she's industrious. She sees what's needed. She sees a good bargain. And she buys it. She thinks that's what's going to be best for her family as she then plants a vineyard and makes even more profit. She's a businesswoman, is really what it's saying here. She has bought this field with the profit she has made so that she can make more profit, not just for herself, but again, for her family. That's the context here, for her family. She buys this field, plants a vineyard, so that she can make a greater profit to provide even greater for her family. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. Again, just really speaking of the readiness to work. You know, she girds her loins with strength. You know, the picture there is, and we've mentioned this before, as in that day they would wear robes. Well, when they were ready to work, they'd pick up the hem of that robe and they would gird it about with a belt around their waist so that long robe wouldn't get in their way when they were ready to work. And that's kind of the picture here. She's ready to work. She girds her loins with strength. She's willing to put effort into that which she is doing and to strengthen her arms. She's willing to do the hard work that's necessary. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp goes not out by night. Interesting, she gets up before sunrise. And her lamp doesn't go out by night. She works beyond sunrise to sunset. She perceives that her merchandise is good. I think the word perceives here, I think maybe she experiences that her merchandise is good, or she experiences the good results from the sale of her merchandise. She sells what she has made, and she experiences the good results from that. She makes a profit. And with that profit, she then is motivated to continue to work, even into the night. Her lamp goes not out. So she's motivated to work as she experiences the fruit of her labor. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She certainly is one who doesn't, again, just sit back and let others do the work. It speaks here earlier of maidens or maidservants, but she doesn't just allow the maidservants to do all the work. She's willing to pitch in and get involved as well. She will. She'll get involved in the spindle and the weaving and so forth. She will do that work and not just leave it to others to take care of. So that's the provision for her family. Come to verses 20 through 24, and it's kind of her care for others. Speaks in verse 20 that she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. So it's not just the provision of her family. Certainly, that's her first priority, her own household. But she'll reach out to the poor and the needy as well. And she'll work with her hands so that she can reach out to them and provide for them. You know, that reminded me of Ephesians chapter 4, where it says instead of stealing from others, it says work with your hands so that you can provide for others. And in that whole context of Ephesians 4, it's the idea of taking something away and replacing it with something else. It talks about, not speaking evil, but speak that which is praiseworthy or that which is going to uplift others. So don't tear others down, but instead build others up. And it's the idea of taking something away, that tearing others down, take that away, but don't just stop there. Now add the building up. And in that context, it also talks about don't steal with your hands, but rather stop stealing and then start working with your hands so that you can provide for those that are in need. And so here we have this virtuous woman who is willing to work with her hands. First, obviously, to provide for her family. That's the first priority, but she doesn't stop there. She also is willing to work hard to provide for those who are poor and in need. Verse 21, again, kind of comes back to providing for her family. She is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. Not afraid of the snow. Winter's coming. And the idea here is we know when it's coming. None of us should be surprised when winter comes. It's coming. And yet, how often do we procrastinate, and how often do we put off, and we put off, and then all at once, winter's here, and we're not ready for it. And the thought here is that she does look to the future, and she prepares for it, so that she's ready when it comes. And it just, the snow here is just representative of the future needs that might come. And she looks into that future, and she recognizes what needs are coming. What's coming down the road, and she prepares for it, and she's ready for it, and protects her family. And they are clothed with scarlet. The word scarlet here it refers to a fabric that is certainly of high quality, but also of significant weight. And it's actually the word that was used with reference to the clothing of the high priest in the Old Testament. So that was a valuable fabric, but also of a sufficient weight to keep one warm. And so she is prepared for that future, is coming down the road. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Again, speaking of high quality fabric, the silk is a linen from Egypt. And the purple here is a very expensive piece of garment or very expensive fabric. And so it just speaks here of, again, her diligence. She's a businesswoman. She has made a profit, and she uses that profit to provide for her family and provide for herself. And not just the cheapest thing she can find, but it speaks of high-quality fabric that she uses even for herself. Nothing wrong with that. She has provided for her family. She's reached out to the needy and the poor, but she also cares for herself and takes care of herself. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He's known in the gates. Obviously, and I think probably most of you are familiar with this, but it speaks of the city gates. That's where... that was the center of government. That was where the legal matters would take place. That's where governmental matters would take place. That's where business transactions would take place. And because of this man's wife, he was well known in those circles. Now, obviously, he was probably also a man of renown. He was one who probably had a position of leadership within the city, and so he was at the gates taking care of the business, but he was well respected, not only in his own right, but because of his wife as well. Of course, we're all familiar with the saying, behind every good man is a better woman, and that's kind of the sense you get here. He was maybe a man of renown, a man of a position of responsibility, but his wife added to his good reputation. Behind every good man is a better woman. Verse 24, she makes fine linen and sells it, delivers girdles unto the merchants. Again, just her industriousness. She's a businesswoman. She's made this clothing, and she has sold it. She delivers girdles to the merchants. Again, that belt that was worn around the waist, both men and women. And she would sell that to the merchants. She was a businesswoman. verses 25 and 26. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Strength and honor are her clothing. Strength, her honor, the word dignity, spoke of her literal clothes in verse 22, but now it's speaking of that which is even of greater importance, her honor, her dignity, her strength, that we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, the woman who is adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. And so here, this proverb is dealing with she is adorned with that honor and dignity and strength, that strength that is tied in with that word virtuous. She's one of strong character, one who is not easily rattled, one who is not easily convinced to do that which is wrong, but she has a strong conviction, and that's what she's known for. That's what she is clothed in. That's what she is adorned with. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she rejoices in time to come. Rejoices in time to come. I think the idea is she rejoices in the future because, as we said earlier, she's prepared for it. She's looked into the future and she has not procrastinated. She's taken care of that which she sees. She's organized enough to be able to do so. And as she looks into the future, she rejoices in that future because she's ready for it. She's prepared for it. Let it come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Your translation may say loyalty, the word kindness here, loyalty, or even the idea of faithful instruction. The word law here is the idea of teaching. And so as she opens her mouth with wisdom, what she has to say is wise, but she also gives, in some translations, faithful instruction, or simply instruction in loyalty. That's what she teaches. She's a teacher. Again, beginning at home, but I'm sure as we read in 2 Timothy, the older women are to teach the younger, and I'm sure that's part of this thought here. The younger women are going to listen to her wise counsel. They're going to listen to her faithful instruction. They're going to listen to teaching in loyalty and faithfulness. Because not only has she taught it with her tongue, as it speaks here, and with her mouth, but she's taught it with her actions. And we see that throughout these verses, that her actions back up the instruction and the teaching that she gives. 27, she looks well to the ways of her household, and eats not the bread of idleness. Again, just speaking of her industriousness, providing for her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Again, she doesn't procrastinate. She's not lazy. She works diligently at that which is before her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Let me just say this to us husbands with children. Our children are going to learn to bless their mother when we as husbands teach them by our example. We need to be praising our wives and blessing them so that our children will learn to praise and bless their mother. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Interesting. You're not just one of the virtuous, you're the greatest of the virtuous. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. That's just the praise and the blessing that her children and her husband gives to her. Verse 29 is now the children and the husband speaking that she's the greatest. She excels them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. favor is deceitful, or maybe your translation uses the word charm. Charm is deceitful. You know, some women really know how to pour on the charm, but it's often very deceitful. It's often really hiding the true inner being. And so he says, charm can be very deceitful. Charm can fool a lot of people. Charm can hide the real inner being. And then it says, beauty is vain. Beauty is empty. As the saying goes, beauty is only skin deep. Some translations that have this, you know, beauty changes. We do. We change. And beauty is not what's important. Charm is not what's important. What's important is the inner beauty, that being adorned, as we said earlier, with a meek and quiet spirit, being adorned with that inner strength and conviction, being adorned with that ability to not get rattled with every little thing, but to be strong in our convictions. The world looks at that just the opposite. The world is all focused on charm, focused on beauty. We as Christians need to be different. Verse 31 then is really a pronouncement of blessing. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The fruit of her hands, give her of the fruit of her hands. It's just pronouncing a blessing that she would indeed make a profit through the works of her hands, that she would receive an abundance from that which she does, and that she would then be recognized by others, not just by her family, but by others even in the gates of the city, that she'd be recognized. And that's the pronouncement of a blessing in verse 31 on the virtuous woman. Again, we can look at this and say, well, many women look at this and say, boy, that's just unattainable. I'll never reach that. And that's not the thought here. The thought is, can't we look at this as a goal, something to strive toward? Maybe, none of us are perfect, but it's a goal to strive toward. And we as husbands, we have a very important part in working with our wives, so that we can encourage them and that we don't hold them back from doing that which is right and good. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful this evening again for the time together and just the opportunity to look into your word. Certainly we can read verses such as this and just sometimes maybe feel inadequate, and yet you've shown us this not to cause us to feel inadequate as such, but just to strive towards that which is best and that which is good. That would be your desire and your will for us. And I pray, Father, that we might look at it that way and not be discouraged, but rather encouraged, just to work toward that which is pleasing to you. And may we together do so. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Again, Father, we are grateful that as we leave this place, we know that you are with us. And throughout this week, may we know your presence. May we live our lives in such a manner that you are glorified, that others will see Christ in us. Help us, Father, to be faithful in the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray for our trunk or treat on Wednesday night, that you would give us opportunities to minister into the hearts and lives of others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.